This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we wade through the water of the Word of God. Well, this morning we're going to take a little pause. Actually, we're not pausing, but I'm going to deal with an issue that just recently arose on May the 2nd, and it was an article that appeared in Politico. And I have to comment on it because it fits into what we've been talking about abortion. And also it's raised a lot of controversy throughout America over this, basically a text that Politico published. So I'm going to deal with that. And I'm going to deal with it in a unique way. I'm going to deal with it just like I would deal with, as I mentioned before, I was skilled by the Roman Catholic Church when I was in Catholic school with diagramming sentences. So I want to take their article and tear it apart, sentence by sentence, subject, predicate, object, and look detailed at what they're saying and making sure we're very accurate in our depiction of what Politico said. So, on May the 2nd in 2022, Politico published what it said. Now, first of all, what it said, okay, this is not documented. It says what they said, and they're not exactly the best reputable way to get your information, Politico. But at any rate, it said that a draft opinion, including the Supreme Court, indicating the Supreme Court would overturn abortion rights enshrined in Roe versus Wade. Well, first of all, that's a complete lie. And I think you need to understand it. A complete lie. They're not trying to overturn Roe versus Wade. In fact, when you hear what the Mississippi law, which is the one that's being discussed here, you'll see that actually they're reinforcing what was changed in the Roe versus Wade already back with in 1992 when Planned Parenthood brought before the Supreme Court against Casey a case. Now, okay, so let's get back. Roe versus Wade is a lie. They're not trying to overturn that. Okay, the document reportedly authorized by Justice Samuel Alito circulated in February. Okay, now there's a question right there. Why, if it was circulated in February, this may come to your mind, why was it in February and now it's being released in May? We'll deal with that a little later. Okay, it suggests at least five Supreme Court justices sided with Mississippi, changing the landmark 1973 abortion ruling. The courts ruled 6-3 of the in that issue. And we see that Mississippi was banning what they state was Mississippi law was banning nearly all abortions after 15 weeks. Okay, now, understand that all they were doing was restating what already Roe versus Wade had established. In other words, the trimester, the 15 weeks. That was already there. In fact, if you look at the current data on abortions, 95% of them are performed within the 15 weeks of pregnancy. So therefore, to say that they're banning all abortions, they're not banning any abortions. Any 95% of them are still going to be active and still be protected. They're not attacking the Roe versus Wade decision. In fact, they're reestablishing it, and I'll explain why. Now, the three liberal support Supreme Court justices stated this. They don't want the high court to be saddled with a being accused of being political. Well, I'm sorry, but if you look at the recent Supreme Court decisions that really affected abortion, it all started with Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And if you remember, since he was president for three terms, he actually appointed 8 of the 9 Supreme Court justices. And then that was not enough, because after the 1936 election, FDR wanted to establish a larger Supreme Court and appoint 6 new. So therefore, what he wanted to establish was basically 6 + 8, that's 14, and only one conservative. So you can see the problem. What's happening here is they're accusing, they don't want to be accused of being a political body, but very much so. The Supreme Court has always been a political body. Now, what's the issue here? The Supreme Court revised and modified Roe versus Wade in 1992 decision. And what they did was they abandoned Roe's trimester framework in favor of a standard based on fetal viability. Fetal viability. What does that mean? Well, it's wide open. Okay, and one of the things that you want to understand in this wide open reading of this, it's wide open. It doesn't have any limit to it. So most of these basically pediatricians and gynecologists and all said that really a baby's fully capable of living with care, of course, after 24 weeks. So they were changing from 15 to 24, but really there's no limit to that because that word is basically wide open. What does fetal viability mean? Now, I have to look at this and approach it in a way that I've always looked at things. And I remember Rudyard Kipling, because he was one of my favorite poetry writers. Remember If, I think I used it before in one of the messages. But this is what he said. He said, "I kept six honest serving men. They taught me all I know. Their names are what and why, when and how, where and who." Okay, so this is important. We want to look at what, why, when, how, where, and who in this report. Now, what you see, and most anybody can see, because I just explained that they're not trying to do with away with Roe versus Wade. They're really just reinstating it. They want it back to the 15 weeks, where now it's this fetal viability, which is an open-ended statement. And we have no limit to what that means. Now, I'm going to give you an example very shortly, but I just want to present this as what's called a false flag. A false flag originated in the 16th century as a purely figurative expression to mean a deliberate misrepresentation of someone's affiliation or motives. It was later used to describe a ruse. A naval warfare vessel would fly a flag of a neutral or an enemy country in order to hide its true identity. The tactic was originally used by pirates and privateers to deceive other ships into allowing them to move closer before attacking them. So you can see what I'm looking at here is this is a false flag because they're presenting this as an attack against Roe versus Wade. They're saying that they're going to eliminate abortions. It's not. They're still going to have abortions. In fact, even the 95% that are already being conducted in the first 15 weeks. In addition to that, it also, in the Mississippi law that's being reckoned with right now, it states that there also are exceptions to that based on a woman's health and other reasons. So it's not perfectly aligned with that. Okay. Now, one of the things that you want to understand is why this all has come about and why we're looking at this in a term that I see that has caused this even to become important. Okay. Now, Here's the situation. Okay, why did the Mississippi and why are several states now coming out with laws limiting abortion to the first 15 weeks? And it's because of this 1992 decision. It's because of these two words, fetal viability. Okay, now, why is that important? Well, this is a response to what happened in New York. And I'll read the report on why this is so important. The public has been outraged by a recent slew of state legislatures and Democratic politicians looking to legalize the murder of an unborn up to the moment of birth or, astonishingly, even after birth. This month, pro-lifers and many who consider themselves pro-choice were horrified to see New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, a Catholic Democrat, sign and celebrate the passing of the Reproductive Health Act. Aside from legalizing abortion up to the moment of birth, the legislation loosens restrictions on who can perform abortions, strips the murder of the unborn, including the murder of wanted babies, and in the state's criminal code. But unfortunately, such barbaric legislation is nothing new. As noted by the Daily Wire's Matt Walsh, on Wednesday morning, there are a total of 8 states, plus the District of Columbia, which allow the murder of unborn up to birth. The following states have no gestational limits on abortion. So what you see here is the response of Mississippi and other states is the fact that now abortion has been legalized up until birth and even after. Now, I'm looking at the picture here of Cuomo signing this, and you see a black woman and a black man and 2 black women all smiling as he signs this into law. Now, what's so critical about this? Okay? There's several issues that we have to get. And in fact, when I was watching the news the other day, and right after this issue, and a woman came on named Candace Owens, and she presented it exactly like I'm presenting it now. She wants to free black voters from the decades-long grip of the Democratic Party and is urging them to support a new movement she's calling Blexit. Okay, Blexit is a renaissance. Owens told Fox News, giving the backstory behind the campaign she launched over the weekend. She got on and she talked about the fact that what she sees is basically the Planned Parenthood as being simply an attack on the black community in terms of limiting or using eugenics to keep their population down. Now, she went on and on and on about this, and I can't tell you but how so much of this is actually, you can see she's right on with this. And, you know, I'm looking at, I'm trying to understand. First of all, you have Cuomo and you have President Biden, both of them Roman Catholics. They're dead set against abortion. How can they then get grips with that and have to live with the decisions they're making? So, a couple of quotes. One of them was made by Bernie Sanders just recently. The current attempt to discredit Planned Parenthood is part of a long-term smear campaign by people who want to deny women in this country the right to control their own bodies. Okay, now, Planned Parenthood is much more than that, and I'm going to get into exactly, and I'm going to be careful because what I'm going to do is just quote their own statements that they make. So why are they doing this? Remember the who, what, where, why of what is this doing? Well, a recent article that just appeared this morning was Democrats hope that the draft abortion opinion will jolt midterm elections. They're doing this for a psychological projection, so to speak. Psychological projection is kind of neat because what it does is a way that people take their own problems. In other words, also known as blame shifting, is a theory in psychology in which humans defend themselves against their own unpleasant impulses by denying their existence while attributing them to others. For example, a person who is nude may constantly accuse other people of being rude or constantly accusing people of being rude. So we see that this issue is right in place. It's right in the heart of what's going on. And what it is, it's using all kinds of different concepts. One of the things that I was trying to figure out is how in the world can, for example, Cuomo and President Biden, who supports Planned Parenthood, how can they come to that conclusion when they know that their faith tells them that it's against the rules of the Catholic Church? In fact, I still keep contact with my graduates from St. Clement's in Rosedale, Maryland, and one of the things they constantly bring up is, why doesn't the Pope excommunicate Biden? Why doesn't he excommunicate these people that are against it, like Cuomo? They don't. Okay, so how do they deal with this? I'm trying to figure out what is in their mind. How does Cuomo, a Roman Catholic, come up with this concept that the abortion can be committed all the way up to birth and even beyond, even a day after? Okay, it's called cognitive dissonance. It's a mental conflict that occurs when beliefs are contradicted by new information. The conflict activates areas of the brain involved in personal identity and emotional response to threats. The brain's alarms go off when a person feels threatened on a deeply personal and emotional level, causing them to shut down and disregard any rational evidence that contradict what they're previously believed as truth. So, in essence, cognitive dissonance is when you know the truth, but you've been persuaded to change your mind and accept and promote the lie as the truth. The most common examples can be found in politics and religion. So, one of the things that you see here is, and I'm going to go through a series of evidences of the actual concept of Planned Parenthood, the actual concept of controlling birth, is actually a eugenics experiment, and I'll explain. First, I want to bring up a gentleman named Dave Foreman, who's started a program called Earth First. And this is what he says. My three main goals: reduce human population to 100 million. No, there's about 8 billion now, so you can see what he's trying to do. Destroy the industrial infrastructure and see wilderness again. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, his support of eugenics and his desire to curb the human population was shown in the 1984 TV interview. He considered the depletion of the Amazon forest and said the human population was reaching plague proportions. He wrote about his desire to set out a deadly virus in the 1987 book, If I Were an Animal. Also, Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger is well known for her ideas about eugenics, advocating forced sterilization of those deemed less fit, stating in the book, The Pivot of Civilization. And just like Adolf Hitler, Margaret Sanger was a disciple of Theosophy and founder Madame Blavatsky. Both Singer and Hitler were involved in a religion that worshipped Satan. Sanger demonstrated a marked hostility towards Christianity. And this fits in with the what we've been talking about in our prophecy about the pale horse, the horse of death. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was death, and hell followed after him. That's in Revelation 6:8. And here's a quote from Margaret Sanger. If you want to change the culture, you're going to have to swim against it instead of drifting with it. Slavs, Latinos, and Hebrew immigrants are human weeds, a dead weight of human waste. Blacks, soldiers, and Jews are a menace to the race. These are a quote from her. And we can see there's all kinds of things that have snuck into our country. In 1980, all of a sudden, it appeared in Georgia, these guidestones. And what do the guidestones affirm? Okay, they affirmed the humanity should be limited to 500 million. Okay, again, there's 8 billion almost now. Okay, they should guide reproductive wisely, improving fitness and diversity, unite humanity with a living new language. And it's the same thing that President Biden said in April 5th, 2013. The affirmative task before us is to create a new world order. That's a quote from him directly. So, you know, we can see that one of the things that is happening, and I couldn't believe that even every single news broadcast that I watched, I couldn't get the truth out of the fact that they're not trying to get rid of Roe versus Wade. It's simply going back to it and limiting the abortions to the 15 weeks, of which 95% are committed at that level anyway. And then also there were exclusions involved in the Mississippi law, which says that, you know, if the mother's health is at risk and so forth, then it can be committed after that. And, you know, it's just amazing that it seems like we can't even have free, no one's speaking the truth anymore. And, you know, it all started back in the Espionage Act of 1917, the Sedition Act of 1918, which severely hurt free speech and limited civil liberties during wartime. Well, we're at war now. We're at war in a war that we see in Ephesians 6, 10 to 17. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of darkness of this world. Now, the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or permitting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And it seems like when you can't find a single bit of truth in terms of this issue, we're in trouble. Okay, now, I'm looking at a picture right now of Barack Obama. When we were what we were once, we are no longer just a Christian nation. We are also a Jewish nation, a Muslim nation, a Buddhist nation, a Hindu nation, and a nation of non-believers. And this goes flat in the face of things that our founding fathers said. And I'll just give you a couple from George Washington. It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible. Also, he said, the future of this nation depends on Christian training of our youth. Keep that in mind, because we're going to deal with it in detail. Training our youth and the fact that without God and the Bible, we can't properly govern. Okay, so what we're looking at is we have to basically take a look and try to dig deeply into trying to find what the truth is. And one of the things I thought about is when I was a kid and we used to play baseball, and all of a sudden someone hit a ball and some would say it's fair and someone would say it's foul. We'd get into arguments over whether it was or not, and then we'd have what's called a do-over. And a do-over, what I want you to be able to do is to reset your mind, okay? And I can't help but think of the poem If, and one of the verses in there. If you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools. So I'm sitting here and I'm thinking about all the lies that I've heard over the news broadcasts and all the lies in almost every single article you can read about the fact they're trying to do away with a woman's right for an abortion when that's not at all the issue here. Okay, now, when I was thinking about George Washington and what he said, you know, about training up our youth, in a Christian spirit. Okay, you have to remember what Jimmy Carter did in 1979. He established the Department of Education. And ever since he did that, America at that particular time was third in the world in leading education. And now we're about 30th. Okay, so this, we have done nothing but spend untold billions of dollars in the Department of Education, and it's caused a complete reversal of what we intended. We're getting stupider, we're getting dumb, and we're getting dumbed down. So one of the things I want you to understand is there's something called the parallax view, and that means if you, for example, are looking at something, close your right eye and look at something and point to it, and then close the other eye and look at it again. You see it moves. So it depends on the position that you're in. You know, our eyes are about 3 inches apart, and it depends on which one you're looking at is the position you take. And you can see that people have been basically schooled through education, through the denial of the right of the Bible in the schools, the denial of prayer in the schools. All these things have had an impact. Now, I just want to read one of the things that happened when I was in Catholic school is we had to memorize poetry. And one of my favorite poems of all, it was when I was in the eighth grade, it was If. And I just want to read some of these lines from it because it really brings to light what I'm talking about. If you can keep your head about you when everyone is losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too. That's critical. If you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting. In other words, look at both sides. If you can wait, not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and they make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you spoke and twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools. Now, one of the things I think I brought this up before, but it's worth bringing up again, is there's a particular Hebrew letter, okay? It's called the Ion. It's the 16th letter, okay? And the Ion is basically an eye, a human eye. And if you look at it, it's very much in pictorial language is presented as a scale. The center point is the eye of the scale. And what does the scale ask us to do? It says to look at it, to see, to measure, to evaluate, to observe, to understand, to weigh and balance, to consider, reflect, and then estimate and determine. So these are things that we must go through constantly when we're looking at these issues. And this is the issue I'm looking at. I'm looking at it from both sides. And I can't tell you how many articles that I've read representing both cases. And that's why I'm bringing you both of them as I'm going through this particular lesson. Now, one of the things that is very important is something I learned when I was writing curriculum for Baltimore County Public Schools. And what I was asked to do was, first of all, when we were writing a curriculum for what was called EcoTrackers, one of the things we did was, the first thing we did was write the test. In other words, before we did anything else, we wrote the test and we had the answers that we wanted them to get. And then we then developed all the materials they would read that would direct them to getting that answer. It's basically brainwashing. Okay, you want them to believe and obey and want and respect and accept what you're saying, but you're not presenting critical thinking. You're not presenting both sides of the story. And one of the things we actually run against, and you know, all the sin and come short of the glory of God, that's for sure. Okay, but one of the Aesop's fables I thought about, it was kind of interesting because it fits into this. It was a story about the scorpion and the frog. The scorpion wanted to get across the pond, and of course he couldn't swim. So he asked the frog, he said, listen, will you give me a ride on your back so I can get to the other side? And of course the frog said, wait a minute. If I let you go on my back, you'll sting me and I'll die. And he said, no. If you die, I die. So he says, okay, I agree to it. So the scorpion's on the back of the little frog, and they're going across, and all of a sudden the scorpion stings the frog. And in his last gasp of breath, he says, listen, don't you know we're both going to die now? And he said, yes, but this is my nature. And sometimes it's in man's nature that we need to control and make sure that we're actually operating according to a new nature, the new nature we get when we accept the Lord as our Savior. That old nature dies. Okay, now, I want to go over some Supreme Court decisions because these are important in understanding exactly what has happened with the Supreme Court and affecting this whole issue on abortion. Okay, during the 12 years in office, Franklin Roosevelt appointed 8 new members of the Supreme Court, and also after winning the election, he then wanted to increase it from 9 to 15, and of course it had been 14 liberals and only one conservative. And then right after that happened, right after he did that, there was a big Supreme Court decision called Karamatsu versus the United States. Now, what that was about was, if you remember, when World War II broke out, okay, when it broke out, it took all the Japanese that were in California and the Western states, and we imprisoned them. We put them in basically concentration camps. We took all their goods. We took they lost everything they owned, their homes, their businesses. Everything was lost. Well, in 1944, one of the Japanese that suffered under this went to the Supreme Court and said this was unfair. And this Karamatsu versus the United States started with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, because he signed an executive order that caused the incarceration and the concentration camps to be built for the Japanese. Well, they thought this was a slam dunk. Of course, the United States, now Supreme Court, now that's 1944 and the war is practically over, we're going to now go back and make this right. But no, they decided that no, in case of a war, the president can issue an order and incarcerate anyone he feels is a threat. If you're a Christian, you have to understand that so many times, and I'll go over some of these concepts and statements that have been made, and that's by proponents of the Supreme Court and also some of the people that are legislators. One of the things that you see is that one of the biggest threats to our nation by way of the liberal Democrats is the fact that the Christians fundamentalists. And a lot of terrible things have been said, and we'll talk about them. But I want to go on to another Supreme Court ruling, and that was in 1963. And that was the Supreme Court ruled, and this was pretty strong, 8-1, to ban the Bible. And also, later on, also banned prayer in schools. There's cases constantly coming up where teachers were involved with sports, and they had the team pray beforehand, and they're then being caused and lost their right to teach because they had prayed with a group of sports enthusiasts, baseball, football, whatever. This is what is going on today. And Roe versus Wade decision in 73, abortion was now allowed, and that's the Roe versus Wade, and that's the one that's not being attacked now. That is also just basically being reinforced. So abortion, what has it done to our society? Okay, and how has it done it? And one of the things that you have to see is 79%, almost 80% of abortions performed before 10 weeks, and then another 16% up to the 15. So you're way up there in terms of the number of abortions that are performed before we ever get to over 15 weeks. So let's end now. And one of the things I'll start off with is comparing the Planned Parenthood with Nazi Germany. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at Comcast.net.